As I begin this Easter message, I want to invite you kids that are watching today to help us all out, because we're going to be saying, "He is risen," and when I do that, I want all of you to say, "He is risen indeed." So lead your household with, "He is risen indeed," every time you see that come up. Get ready, I'll prompt you, and shout it out. So we are to come awake. It's Easter morning. Come awake, he's alive. Come awake. Come awake, come awake. This isn't a wake-up call to roll out of bed. This is an invitation to wake up from the dead. Come awake and come and rise up. Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
So this is an amazing testimony of the greatest revelation to humanity. You know, it could be scary. It might sound crazy. It definitely doesn't seem to describe the real experience we have. Isn't dead dead? Isn't it final? Isn't death the end? Not for Jesus. And the Easter message says that death is not final for the follower of Jesus. So if you're a Christ follower today, come awake. The tomb is empty. If you're a seeker of Jesus and haven't quite committed to the resurrection life, come awake. The tomb is empty. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. Here it comes. He has risen." Just as he said. So the Bible describes this same outcome in every one of the Gospels that talk about Jesus' life and death. Mark's gospel reads, "He is risen from the dead." And Luke's gospel says, "He isn't here, he is risen from the dead." And even John's account leads us to the only possible conclusion we can come to with the risen Jesus calling out Mary. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which means teacher in Hebrew. It's the awesome, unthinkable reality of what the stone rolled away uncovers. Jesus is alive. This is the amazing, earth-shaking revelation of that first Easter, and it still shakes the world today. And this is why. Jesus isn't dead. It isn't final. And the grave has lost its grip. In Easter, we come up against this amazing truth that the only possible outcome of the death of Jesus is an empty tomb. Let me say that again. The only possible outcome of the death of Jesus is an empty tomb. Come awake this Easter as we follow Jesus into the resurrection. And kids, here it comes. Are you ready? He is risen. So we're in the Bible today in the book of Matthew, and if you have one or you have a Bible app, I invite you to open up to the passage that was read today, the end of the gospel, chapter 28. We're going to just start off right there at the beginning. The verse says that after the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look. So that first Easter morning at sunrise, the two Marys, they go to the tomb to take a look. So some scholars think that this is a description of a Jewish burial custom where they would go to the tomb for the first 3 days just to be there, to mourn. So this account, it doesn't have them there for any other reason than simply to take a look. So why are they there just to look at the tomb? Well, actually, because Jesus died. He is laid in the tomb because that's what they did in the ancient burial customs. They put a body into a tomb. And these women, they expected nothing more than to find things as they had left them. A sealed tomb with Jesus' body inside. That's what they expect. It's the experience of death. So let me take you to another experience. Maybe you've had one. Have you ever experienced an escape room? An escape room is a popular game where you actually enter into a room with a group of people and you're given a set of clues that you need to solve. And as you unlock these clues, it unlocks puzzles that will eventually lead you to solving the game, solving the clues, which ultimately unlocks the door to the escape room. So if you escape, you win. But there's one catch. The game has a time limit. So the goal is to figure out all the clues fast enough to escape the room before your time runs out. So if you can't get the clues in time, you lose. So if you're going to an escape room experience, you want to be good at solving complicated clues, or you'll be trapped inside without escape. So now I want us to think about the grave as an impossible escape room. Human beings have been trying all kinds of ways to figure out how to escape the grave. But the problem is, time always runs out before we can solve the clues. There is no solvable clue to escape the grave. No matter how hard we try, the puzzle is beyond human ability. So the inevitable outcome will always be that time runs out. Game over. Before we begin. So in life, if it's game over before we begin, what kind of life will we live? You know, if we believed it was game over, we would live a life defeated. We might even try to do our best for the sake of others, but even the good that we try to do would leave us deep in a desperate emptiness that all of it really doesn't matter. Death would leave everything ultimately pointless, even meaningless. The Apostle Paul, he goes on to say that if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Wow, useless. So if we believed it was game over before we began, we would live afraid. We could put our best face forward, we could try to live as courageously as our strength would allow, but we could always be aware of that nagging truth that life is fragile, that death is waiting to steal us and seal us into an empty tomb. If we believed it was game over before we began, hope would be distant and faith would be powerless. So we live with this constant fear that something darker and even more dreadful is waiting for us on the other side of the grave. We would begin to live in this fear of separation from the author of life, that it would be an eternity of agony. So where would that leave us if we believed the tomb was game over? We would be trapped in a room we cannot escape, a life whose outcome could not be love. Our love would grow cold. Love could not endure all things. We wouldn't and couldn't bear the end, and love would fail if the tomb remained sealed. You know, the women, they went to the tomb that morning struggling with game over. For them, it seemed like death was final. The tomb had won, and they couldn't conceive of an escape from the grave. And then, in an instant, everything was changed. The earth shook, an angel appeared, and everything was different. Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. Here it comes. He is risen. Risen indeed. Just as he stated. So something has altered the course of death. The impossible has become possible. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. What has happened? Well, to understand, we have to ask the inevitable question, and that is this: what put Jesus in the tomb? So if you're following the events of Holy Week here in our community and you're driving around town, stopping at the Journey to Resurrection sites, then you've been watching and listening to people from our church describing the events leading to the tomb. So we know Jesus was betrayed, he was falsely accused, he was brutally tortured, and then he was horrifically crucified on a cross. At the end, he was buried into a tomb which was sealed by Roman authorities. But why did it happen? Not simply because of the Roman soldiers, or not simply because of jealous leaders. It happened because of sin. So what's sin? Well, sin is simply our rebellion toward God. The prophet Isaiah, he spoke about it long ago when he foretold the events. He said, "But he was pierced for our rebellion." There it is. "Crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. And yet, the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." Now, I invite you that even though this seems like a dark beginning to a glorious Easter, follow me through this, because it has everything to do with the joy of resurrection. So God created us for life. An unending relationship with God, joyful, holy, pure, defined by love, God's love for us, our love for God and for one another. But from the very beginning, humanity has rebelled against God's life for us. It says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. That means that whether willingly or even unknowingly, we all have rejected life with God. Now, maybe you struggle with that and think that, I don't know if that's really me, that I've rebelled against God. But each of us knows deep down right here in our heart that it's true. We've turned away, every one of us. We've rejected God's way for life. So how do we know? How do we know that's true? Well, we know we've left God's path for life because we know death. The Bible makes it clear the outcome of rebellion is death. The wages of sin is death. The opposite of life with God is death apart from God. The women at the tomb, they know death. They are experiencing death's sorrow in that very moment. We all know death is real. Death proves that we have left God's path, who created us for life, not for death. But something happened on Good Friday on the cross. Something happened that reversed the game over of the tomb. We heard it in the prophet Isaiah's words, but he, Jesus, was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was whipped so we could be healed. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. The power of sin that leads to our death is destroyed on the cross of Jesus. So how do we know? Because if it's true, the only possible outcome of the death of Jesus is an empty tomb, a resurrection. Death has been overcome. And that's what the angel announced. He has risen from the dead. We encountered it when the women ran to tell the other disciples. It says the women hurried away from the tomb, again, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped. And then Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. It's not game over at the tomb anymore. Life wins. Love overcomes." And here it is. Are you ready? He is risen. He is risen indeed. For certain, without a doubt. In fact, I invite you right now to take a moment and text somebody that very phrase, "He is risen. He is risen indeed." Go ahead, do it right now while I'm talking. It's okay, I can't see you. All right, for certain, without a doubt, the resurrection is proof that we have been forgiven. Death will not hold us. It cannot destroy us. The grave is empty. Are you ready again? He is risen. He is risen indeed. So let me take you back. Let me take you back to the escape room. Except this time, you and I are not the clue-solving experts. In fact, we know there's no possible way that we can solve the puzzle to get out. But one of the strategies of escaping an escape room is to have someone with you who can solve the clues. So when we're going in with that person, we also go out with that person. So we've determined that death is an inescapable tomb for every human being. On our own, it's absolutely game over, but not with Jesus. He went into the tomb on Good Friday, and he walked out on Easter morning. He declares, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives believing in me will never die." Pastor Craig Groeschel, he says that because Jesus is risen, those who are in Christ are not what they once were. Let me say that again. Those who are in Christ are not what they once were. "I have been crucified with Christ," the Bible says, "and it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. If he is raised, we are raised. If he has life, we have life." The Bible says that we are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. It's a resurrection life. It's a great place to begin. The tomb is empty. Everything has changed. You and I, we don't have to live defeated lives anymore. We don't have to live afraid or self-centered or worried that we're missing out. As a follower of Jesus, you have resurrection life. Death cannot defeat you. You have meaning and purpose for all of eternity. Your life counts. You matter in Christ. As a follower of Jesus, you do not have to live in fear. Whatever you face, you have confidence that in the end, God will bring good. The outcome is good. Jesus is for you. God is with you. You are rescued from death for all eternity. And as a follower of Jesus, you no longer have to live for yourself. Because death has no hold on you, you are free to give your life away, to give your life to something greater than yourself. You can experience the joy of living in resurrection power right now, and you can experience the joy of loving, finally loving like God loves you, and expressing that love to those around you. A love that never fails. And because the tomb is empty, love never fails. So come awake. It's Easter morning. Come awake. He's alive. Come awake. Come awake. Come awake. This isn't a wake-up call to roll out of bed. This is an invitation to wake up from the dead. Jesus' invitation right now is to come to him because he is the resurrection and the life. Know Jesus and know life. It's not game over. Life has begun. The tomb is empty. He's alive. Come awake, come alive, and live in Jesus. Are you ready? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Father, we thank you that you have raised your son Jesus from the dead. The tomb is empty. The grave has been opened. Jesus is alive. And Lord, for your church today, we desire more than ever to continue to bring that good news to our world, that others may know Jesus, that we would be followers who make followers of Jesus. Lord, our desire is to know the resurrection life and to live into the power you have for us. No more fear, no more dying, no more pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Lord, fill us with your spirit today that we may continue to proclaim your good news. And Lord, for those today who may feel defeated or who may feel afraid, who may feel cold, like they don't know that resurrection, that they don't know that life in you. Lord, come into each one of their hearts. Lord, for each one today who's longing to know that resurrection power, that hope of the Easter resurrection, Lord, I pray that you would enter into them. And I invite you to come before Jesus. He says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. He invites us to trust in him. Jesus, I trust you. I love you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for rising from the grave. Fill me with your life. Fill me with your resurrection power. In Jesus' name, amen. Come awake. Rise up from the grave. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. And here it comes. He is risen. He is risen indeed.